My title for today's message is Valuing Self. Valuing Self. See, we're in a society today where people don't tend to value themselves. Somehow, something has happened that people tend to, you ask them how they are, how are you doing? Are you really doing? I'm just getting by. I'm always tired. Yeah, something like that. You know, it's always a question of people not recognizing the value that they have in themselves. You and I are valuable people. God's placed value on us. Tell your neighbor that. And the Bible talks about, whilst we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, the next part is love your neighbor or love people. Now, how many know loving people is not always easy? It's easy to love a person who loves you back, correct? It's easy to love a person who is nice to you, who is kind to you. But it's not easy to love somebody who isn't like that. But the scripture is very clear. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, then the next verse says, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So my question is, if you cannot love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? And I think we are in a society where people are not experiencing that love for themselves. They don't love themselves because they're so self-critical. And every time you try to bring them something positive, they always focus on the negative. The news is very good at that, aren't they? The media is very good at that. They pick up all the negative stuff and they throw it out there. But if something positive is going on, you hardly hear about it, correct? And so we as a society, we have been programmed to hear the negative and go with the negative. And so I want to change our concept this morning. I want to change our thinking this morning. I want to bring something to you today that will enable you to look at yourself with more value. Because God values you. That's why. That's where I'm coming from. He values you. So loving yourself is critical to loving somebody else. If you cannot love yourself or value yourself, then loving your fellow brother or sister will not be easy. Where does love come from? It comes from the Father. He's the Creator. He's the one who loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave. See, love gives. If I say, when I say I love my wife, I've got to keep giving, and I'm still giving. And it never stops giving. How many know that men? Are you with me? Yeah, the men say, yeah, preach it. Okay. But love compels you to do something, correct? God loved us. He didn't say, I love you people, and did nothing about it. No, He did something about it. He sent His Son. So love compels us to go beyond just the word love, just the feeling of love. It does something. It activates something in us. It originates from the greatest lover of all, and that's God the Father Himself, who gave His Son Jesus to take our place by dying on the cross for you and for me. What did He do on the cross? He took our sin, He took our shame, He took our suffering, He took our pain. And He died on the cross and He paid that price for us with His precious blood. That's why you and I can love one another when we love Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So here's my first point. So why should we value ourselves? Why should we love ourselves? Sounds a bit self-conceited, isn't it? But why should we do it? There's a reason, there's a purpose. And here's the first point. Because we have been bought with a price. That's why. You have been bought with a price. And what is that? What's the price? The price is what Jesus paid. And the New Testament talks about it. And in Acts 20 and verse 28, if you're writing notes, Acts 20 and verse 28, this is a passage of scripture that is amazing. And it talks to those who feed the flock and those who are ministers or pastors. But it also speaks to every one of us because we are feeding the flock of God. You and I are ministers in God. So when I read this, don't think, oh, that's only for you. Or you got to be a pastor in order to do this. No, it's for every one of us. So it says, and now beware. Be sure that you feed and shepherd God's flock. his church, purchased with his blood. Can you see that? His church, which is you and I, tell your neighbor that's you. It's not this building, it's you. Purchased with his blood. That's what he did. For the Holy Spirit is holding you responsible as overseers. What's the price? The blood of Jesus. And that's why when we are overseers, there's a responsibility that we carry. We cannot treat God's house or God's people in a common way, because God values you and me. And so we are take responsibility and we are accountable as sometimes we think, oh, being a pastor must be a great thing. It's nice, pastor, okay. Oh, right, okay. But that carries a tremendous amount of responsibility and accountability, because God holds us responsible for the flock, for the people. And so it's something that we take on, but we take on knowing the price that we had to pay in order to feed the flock and to look after what God has given us. The price is the blood of Jesus. That's the ultimate price that has been paid. There's no higher price that can be paid, and that has never been paid other than the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and for me. So what's so important about the blood of Jesus? Who asked that question? Anyone say anything? It's the guy talking about the blood of Jesus. It doesn't sound very, sounds very bloody, isn't it? Sorry, The blood of Jesus. What was the purpose of the blood of Jesus? What was the purpose? That's a good question. You're thinking, I hope you have the answer. Okay, I do have some answers here. Thank God for that. So here's the first answer. What is the relevance? Why is the blood of Jesus important? What has the blood of Jesus done for you and for me? Here's the first one. Your debt, my debt, has been paid once and for all. Our debt has been paid. When we sinned against God, we owed a debt that we could not pay. God knew that we could not pay that debt. Sin was in our lives, hung over us. The enemy had his hand on our lives. But God decided to do something about that. And he sent Jesus to pay our debt that we owed once and for all. And because he paid that debt, it's a bit like this. If you have a debt, let's say you owe the bank, I don't know, let's make it a big sum. How about $1 million? Okay? You're in debt by $1 million and you're thinking, oh, what do I do? What do I do? How do I get $1 million? You are stressed, you're worried, cannot sleep. And then one day you go into the bank and you're trying to plead with them and you're trying to explain yourself, and the guy, the bank manager says, look, don't worry, it's been paid. You go, what? Yeah, it's been paid. Wow, really? How did that happen? Oh, so and so came, he paid your debt. You're free. That's the same thing that Jesus did for us. He paid it. He paid it. That's why you and I are free in Jesus. Isn't that great? Here's the second one. So if you want a scripture for that, here we go. Hebrews 9 and verse 28 says this. So Christ was offered as a sacrifice one time to take away the sins of many people. Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Here's the second one. Why is the blood of Jesus important? We have been justified, and the word justified is to be made right with God through the blood of Jesus. We have been made right with God from all the wrong stuff, from all the wrong things. We have been made right through the blood of Jesus. Romans 5 and verse 9 tells us that we have been made right with God by the blood sacrifice of Christ. So through Christ, we will surely be saved from God's anger. Hallelujah. Here's the third one. Why is the blood important? We are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. I love this scripture, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. So overflowing in his kindness toward us, that he took away our sins. So overflowing in his kindness towards us, that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved. Can you see the relevance of the blood of Jesus? We are saved from what? From eternal damnation, from sin, from the power of sin and death, from satanic oppression, because of the blood of Jesus. Here's the next one, the fourth one. We are saved from the wrath of God. God's anger is taken away because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers us. When he sees us through the blood of Jesus. And he sees us as those who have been made right in his presence. Romans 5 and verse 9. Here's the next one. Why is the blood important? If we are spiritually alive. Ephesians 2 talks about that. It says, once we were dead in our sin and in our trespasses. But now, thanks be to God that he has set us free from the curse of sin and death. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's have a quick look at that. Galatians, Ephesians after Corinthians. Ephesians before Philippians is Ephesians. Philippians? Is it? Yeah, correct. Right, Ephesians chapter 2. It says here, there we are. And you he made alive. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, which you once walked according to the course of this world. So you and I are made spiritually alive in Christ through his blood. The sixth one. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that amazing? That's what he's done for us. 1 John 1:7. Here's the next one, 7. We have power to overcome the enemy. Revelation 12 and verse 11 tells us this. They overcame him, whom? The devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the blood that Jesus shed, and by their testimony, the word of their testimony. You heard testimony this morning about a couple who've been married for 47 years. The secret ingredient is having whom? Having God in the center of your marriage. That's the testimony. You and I have a testimony, which is the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us. When the enemy tries to accuse us of various things, of sin, of guilt. Guilt is a common thing. The enemy always accuses us. He makes us feel guilty about what has happened in our lives. He brings the past back into our lives. He never wants to leave us alone. He just wants to stir things up. You know, the only way out of that is the blood of Jesus and our declaration and telling the devil, look, devil, you cannot bring the rubbish back again, because I have been bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus. And it is the blood of Jesus that covers me now. I'm not listening to your rubbish anymore. That's what happens when we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimony. Here's the next one. We are no longer condemned. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. God does not condemn you. The Holy Spirit never condemns you. See, condemnation crushes a person's spirit. The Holy Spirit will always convict you. And conviction is good because you can do something about the conviction. You can get out of your situation with a positive attitude, with a positive confession. That's who what the Holy Spirit does. The enemy, the devil, condemns you. And he says, you are useless. You have no reputation. Look at what you've been doing. I mean, how can God even love you? Look at your life. That's what the enemy says. But God doesn't say that. As we sang in that song, He found us where we are. He finds us where we are. Hallelujah. Here's the next one. We are able to come close to God and into His presence because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are able to approach a holy God because God, through His Son Jesus, has made us righteous in right standing with the Father. That's what it means, in right standing with the Father. In other words, sin cannot dictate to us. You know, God doesn't see, when He sees us through His Son, He doesn't see sin anymore in our lives because He sees the blood of Jesus and He sees the righteousness of Christ Jesus in us. Isn't that amazing? How can we not value ourselves when God values us so much? How can we condemn ourselves when God does not condemn us? I think it's crazy to condemn ourselves when God does not condemn us. He loves us. He values us. Here's the last, but there's so many more, and if I go on, it'll go on for a long time. We have a new covenant in and through the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. We don't have to sacrifice goats and bulls and cut pigeons and, you know, do different sacrifices that they did before. Because of the blood of Jesus, the one sacrifice that He paid for, was willing to go to the cross for. That one sacrifice paid the price for all eternity. Isn't that amazing? That sealed the deal. That was sufficient for God the Father to say, right, you know, that's the new covenant that Jesus paid for with His blood. Luke 22 and verse 20. If you want a reference for the previous one, coming close to God, into His presence, Ephesians 2 and verse 13. Here's the second one. So the first one is because we have been bought with a price, which is the blood of Jesus. Here's the second one. Why do we need to value ourselves or love ourselves? Because you and I, we belong to God, and our body belongs to God. We have a responsibility to look after this body. Like it or not. We've got a responsibility to look after ourselves. Why? Because we belong to the Creator. He created us in His image and in His likeness. He created us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, we read this. God paid a very high price to make you His. God paid a very high price to make you His. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 tells us that. Then He says, so honor God with your body. In other words, don't abuse your body. You know, don't sin against your body by living immorally. Think before you act and honor God in what you do and in what you say. Because you don't belong to anyone else other than God Himself. This body belongs to God. Why? Because He lives in you and me. He makes His home in you and me. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, God doesn't somewhere in the cosmos, somewhere out there, no. His word says that He will come and He will live in us. And He'll be in us. And He will enable us to live this life. This journey that we walk with Him is not an easy journey. I always say the road that we walk on is not a broad road. It's a narrow path. It's a narrow road. But the Bible says the narrow road leads us to eternal life. The broad road leads us to death and destruction. Jesus always calls us to a narrow path, a narrow road. Why? Because He is with us. He is leading us. He is guiding us. He is taking us on this journey. So long as we put our trust in God, we put our trust in Jesus, and God, I don't know much of the future. I don't know anything about anything, but all I know is that your hand is upon my life, and that is enough for me, because I know that you will lead me into paths of righteousness for your namesake. You will lead me into those still waters, waters where I can sit, where I can be comforted, where I can have consolation. You will take me into pastures that are green, pastures that feed me, pastures that I can sit and relax and enjoy your presence. God, that's what you do for me. That even when I go through hard times, perilous times, times where I face death and destruction, your word says, Lord, you will uphold me. You will keep me. That's the God who we serve. Even though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not fear evil. Why? Because God, you are with me. That's the confidence you and I have when we walk with Jesus. Here's the next one, the third one. Why should we value ourselves? Because we are redeemed, not with silver or gold. 1 Peter 1:18 says, God paid a ransom to save you from the impossible road to heaven, which your fathers tried to take. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver, as you very well know, but he paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. In the Jewish custom, when they brought a sacrifice to the altar, they had to bring a sacrifice that was pure. It could not be blemished. It could not be spotted. It had to be a perfect lamb that had to be brought to be sacrificed. Jesus was that perfect lamb. Jesus was without spot or blemish. Now, what is a blemish? A blemish is something a creature carries from birth, correct? There's a blemish in a creature. You will see it from birth. What's a spot? It's something that stains you. Let's say I'm wearing a nice white shirt, you know, and a bird does a plop. My white shirt has been stained, correct? I hope that got in there. It would stain or mar that whiteness, that beauty. What does it say? What does it mean? Jesus was sinless. He did not have the original sin of Adam and Eve. He was sinless. He was spotless. He did not have the original sin, neither did he have personal sin in his life. That's why he became the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. The requirement that God had that was necessary for us. When Jesus redeemed us, what does it mean to redeem? To buy back. From whom? From the clutches of sin and death, from the devil himself, to buy us back. When Jesus redeemed us, he redeemed us completely. Spirit, soul, and body. In our spirit man, God redeemed us. In our soulish realm, our mind has been renewed by the Spirit of God. In our feelings has been renewed by the Spirit of God. Our emotions have been renewed by the Spirit of God. God has completely redeemed us, spirit, soul, and our body. The redeemed body is holy and is a temple for the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives in this temple. We don't have to go to any temples. God lives in us. Hallelujah. That's why a temple doesn't really matter. We can decorate this, we can paint it all gold. It doesn't make an iota of difference to God. He's interested in your life and in my life, because you and I, we are the temple. We are the carriers of the presence of God. Think about that. That alone should place value on us, correct? That we are carriers of the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. You can say amen to that. Come on, church. You can talk back to me. So what response does God require from us? What is our response to this amazing value that God places on our lives. Romans 12 and verse 1 tells us that. Romans 12 and verse 1, it says this, to present. He says, Paul there urges, he says, I beseech you. He says, I implore you, I plead of you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not when you are dead, but when you are living, to present yourself as a sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? It's something that you lay on the altar and it is killed, correct? Then it becomes a sacrifice. What is it saying there? We are killing our own nature, our own selfish attitudes, our sinful nature. We are dying to ourselves. That's what it means. And we are living for Jesus, bringing to God a living sacrifice. But in order to live for God, you got to die to sin. You got to die to your old ways of living. You got to die to yourself. Every one of us, we have an ego, don't we? No one else, don't tell me no one has an ego. We do. But we got to every day die to our ego. Die to ourself, to our self-righteous habits, and present ourselves a living sacrifice. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind that God accepts. How does holiness happen into our lives? Not by repeating something, 100 times. Not by wearing robes and walking around. That doesn't make a person holy. He might look to us from the outside. We look at, oh my man, he looks holy. He ain't holy. That doesn't define holiness. We become holy when the Spirit of God renews us. When the Spirit of God touches our lives. When we become the righteousness of God. In other words, being right standing with God. That's when we become holy and we become righteous. It's not my coming in a big robe, with a bishop's hat and standing here, That doesn't make me holy. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that has paid the ultimate price for you and for me. Paul said, if I can only boast, I can only boast about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that kept him humble every day. Did not enable him to be pumped up because he realized that the power did not come from man. It came from God himself. God empowers us for a purpose. God empowers us for a job that we have to do whilst we are walking and living on this earth. It's not to pump ourselves up and say, oh, look at me. I'm a great preacher. I'm a great healer. I'm a great this or that. No, it's to humble ourselves and say, God, if not for your grace, if not for your mercy, I wouldn't be where I am today. And thank God for his mercy. And thank God for his grace, without which we will not be able to do a thing. Corinthians 6:19 says, haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit of God that he gave you, who lives in you? Your body doesn't belong to you. Many say, I will do whatever I like with my body. It is mine to do as I wish. No, it's not. God created you in his image, in his likeness. This is why we must value our lives, our bodies, ourselves, because of what Jesus has done and paid for us. And in turn, when we value what Jesus has done for us, then we will value one another. We will esteem one another. We will see others in the light of Jesus. We will see others in the light of the blood of Jesus. loving people, then becomes easier. When we understand who we are and whom we belong to. This is why the Bible tells us in Romans 12 and verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. What does that mean? As members of one family. Love one another, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. What do in marriage? We show honor to one another. We honor one another. We love one another. It's not based on how good the other person is. It's not based on what they can do. Many marriages fail because it is based on what can you do for me? Try and amuse me. It doesn't happen that way. Those marriages don't last. It is based on honor and loving one another. God wants us to be totally dedicated to Him. He wants us to surrender everything of our lives to Him, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. We are not cheap. Tell your neighbor, you're not cheap. You're not second-hand goods. And sometimes we think we are second-hand goods. We are not. God has placed an amazing value on our lives. He's paid the most amazing price that you can ever pay for. That's with His blood. Let's not treat ourselves as cheap. Let's not treat others cheap as cheap because of the price of the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you have been bought with a price, so honor God. This morning I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And you know what? God has an amazing plan for your life. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that while you were yet being formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. He knew every day of your life. Now you might think, wow, my life has not been great. But that's because you have yet not recognized and realized that there is a better place to be in, a better life to walk in, a better path to go on. And that's recognizing that God has His hand on your life. He's a God who will never leave you. He will never reject you. He will never forsake you because He loves you too much to be left alone. He's the only Savior who can change you, who can transform your lives from the inside out. I can preach 100,000 sermons, but that's not going to set you free. The only thing that sets you free is a response that comes from you to say, Jesus, I've heard so much about you and I need some change. I want to change. I want you in my life. I don't want to walk the road that I'm walking on because it's temporary. It doesn't seem right. It's not leading me anywhere. But God, I want to seek after you. And you know, when we have that kind of attitude and we ask Him, God can deal with the sin problem in our lives. God can deal with any situation we are facing. Thank God for psychologists, psychiatrists, for counselors, and we value them. They do an amazing job. When God touches your life, He touches you perfectly. One touch from Jesus will set you free for eternity. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can take away your pain. He can take away your shame. He can take away your disappointments. He can take away your failures because He died for you and He rose again for you. Only Jesus can make all things new in our lives. You can have a fresh start today, right now. And how does that happen? By asking Jesus to come into your life. So I want every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. No one looking around. And you might be sitting here thinking, Wow, I don't know how I came here. But God had a plan for you to be here today. And His plan for you is for right now. That you will hear about Him. You will hear about your value, your worth. You will hear about how much God, through His Son Jesus, loves you. He wants to bring you hope and a future. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you, I need you. I want to give you an opportunity. I don't want to embarrass anyone today. But you know something? If you're really, really wanting the Savior today, really say, Jesus, I really want to try you. The Bible says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. A little while you'll be tasting some food out there. You will never know the taste of that food until you try it. I can tell you this cake is delicious. You can take my word for it, but you will know for yourself when you have tried a piece of that cake and you will know, wow, this cake is amazingly delicious. It's the same with Jesus. I can tell you all about Jesus, but until you try Him, you will never know the fullness of God in you. So here's your opportunity. If you really want Jesus in your life, all I want you to do is just say, I just slip my hand. I'm slipping my hand as well. Just want to acknowledge this morning, if you want Jesus to touch your life today, and you're saying, God, I need you. Let me see your hand very quickly. Just up quick and down. Anyone here this morning, no compulsion whatsoever. It's between you and God the Father. He knows you better than I do. But this is just an opportunity. And we can pray together. We can ask the Lord, to Holy Spirit, to reveal Jesus right now. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you that you'll reveal Jesus to us. And even in your own words, whilst you're sitting where you are, you can say, Jesus, I acknowledge sin in my life, and I want you as my Savior. Come into my life. Change me. Make my life new. You may have been someone who has gone away from the love of God. The love of God hasn't left you. You kind of feel that you've gone away from God's love. God's love can never leave you. But today is an opportunity for you to say, God, I'm coming back to that love that you have for me. He loves you the way you are. No strings attached. Just loves you the way you are. I'm going to close in prayer. And if you have made that decision for Jesus, or if you have come back to the love that He has for you, just come and say hi to me. Say, look, you know, I just thank God for what He's done today in my life. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that you are so, so amazing. So, so wonderful. Your love for us, God, how can I even explain your love? It goes beyond words. God, I pray that everyone here leaving this place would have experienced your love and your amazing love. God, I pray that you will be with every person, that your presence will go before them, that you'll open the right doors for them. Give them, Lord, those God opportunities open up before you. In the name of Jesus. May those doors open in front of you. You might be looking for a job. You might be looking for a new place to live in. You might be looking for healing in your body. Whatever it is you're looking for, today I declare and pray in the name of Jesus that a God opportunity comes your way, that you experience God's power right where you are. that a door opens for you. In Jesus' name, this morning. God bless you and God go with you. And just pray the blessing of God over you, the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Rest, remain, and abide with you now and the weeks and months to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're going to bring that swag right now?
Your grace is chasing me down, chasing me down. Goodness and mercy are following me. Your grace is chasing me down, chasing me down. Goodness and mercy.